This morning, we'd like to see the title of the Second Covenant in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 7 through 13. For online course people, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 7, for if death, first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. What are the first covenant and a second? The first question, what are the first covenant and a second? Question 2, in verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What do the phrase of write them on their hearts and in their minds mean? What does the phrase of the write them on their hearts mean? Question 3. In verse 13, in that he says, in new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. What does it mean? The last question in verse 13, what does it mean? First of all, we'd like to see a little background. First of all, the definition of covenant is it is a collective form of promises generation to generation. Covenant says in the Bible, covenant usually used for a collective form, singular form, includes a lot of promises, a lot of promise, but not short time, generation to generation. That is a covenant. The author of Hebrews is not sure, is anonymous, writing this book about 6 years ago, before Titus, the Roman Emperor, destroyed the temple of Jerusalem in 70 AD. So this is 6 years before the temple of Jerusalem was destroyed. So which means when the author wrote this book, that time in Old Testament style, the priest made an offering over animal sacrifice, you know, in the temple of Jerusalem. So thereafter, 6 years later, the temple was destroyed. So no longer the priest could make offering on sacrifice in the temple of Jerusalem. So they were expelled, you know, to out of Jerusalem by Roman Emperor Titus. Verse 7, for if death first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. So here, first covenant meaning the Old Testament covenant. So that's the means between God and Jews covenant. So basically legal relationship. So a second means a new covenant. So verse 8 talks about new covenant between God and all nation extended from the Jews. So not only Jewish people extended to the all nation, all Gentiles, that in relationship is a second relationship. That's called grace relationship. So grace relationship, Jesus Christ himself as the Son of God and mediate. So that's a better covenant. Better promises. Hebrews chapter 8, you know, verse 6, you know, just the previous verse said, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry in as much as he is also mediator. Jesus Christ himself, the priest between God and man, mediator over a better covenant. Better covenant is a second covenant, which was established on better promises. So covenant includes a lot of promises. So major promises we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ Savior shall be saved from eternal deaths. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 25, a second covenant or a new covenant. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper. Jesus Christ took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant or the second covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So therefore, question one, first covenant is Old Testament covenant between God and Jews, is a legal relationship, but a second is a new covenant between God and all nation, including Jews. That's a gracious relationship. That's the answer. Verse 8 through 12, this author quoted Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. "Because of finding fault with them," he says, "behold, the days are coming." So if verse 7 basically meaning the first covenant, if the first covenant had no fault, so it wouldn't be necessary the new covenant. But because the first covenant had a fault, that's why new covenant is necessary, is required. It's like that. So what's the problem, you know, explained, you know, here? Here, let's see, in verses 8 through 12. "Because of finding fault with them," here fault, continue explaining fault, "God said, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the land to lead them out of the land of Egypt." So verse 8 talks about the second covenant, new covenant. So verse 9 is older covenant, the first covenant. So what's the problem? What's the fault? Explain here. So because the problem here is verse 9, because the fathers did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. Simply meaning they did not keep the older covenant. They did not perform older covenant. So in the Old Testament, basically keep the covenant and you are blessed. Otherwise, you are cursed. For example, Leviticus chapter 26, verses 1 through 4, that is, keep it, you are blessed. 14 through 16, you breach it, the covenant, you will be cursed, simply. Verses 1 through 4, Leviticus chapter 26, "You shall not make idols for yourselves, neither a carved image, nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord of your God. You shall keep my Sabbath and reverence or honor my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform," right here, "perform them, then I will give you rain in its season, like a blessing, such as rain in season. The land shall yield its produce, and trees of the field shall yield their fruit." So basically, you keep the covenant, the statute, the command, the promise, so then simply you will be blessed. But otherwise, verses 14 through 16, "But if you do not obey me, do not observe all these commandments," you violated any commandment, any laws over the first covenant, And if you despise my statutes of the first covenant, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so your soul hates God's judgment, God's case law, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenants. I will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, terrify you, wasting disease, fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain. So no harvest, although you are in sowing. For your enemies shall eat. Your enemies shall eat because your invader shall eat. Simply, you keep the covenant, you will be blessed. You breach, you break the covenant, you will be cursed. Interesting, one example, Sabbath, here. The Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 35. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath, solemn rest of the land. Basically, every seventh year you shouldn't cultivate any farm on the land, just let the land rest, take rest. That's God's commandment. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard when in the seventh year. What grows its own accord over your harvest you shall not reap, nor gather the grapes over your untended vine, for it is a year of the rest of the land. So without cultivating, the 6 year vine might have produced some certain grapes. Don't reap dead grapes either in the seventh year. That's God's commandment. But the Jewish people did not give the rest of the land every seventh year for 490 years. So therefore, God forced the land to get Sabbath by Babylonian invaded and carrying away the Jewish as a captivity for 70 years. So which means 70 years rest, the land of the Israel, rest meaning 70 times 7 equal to 490 years. So God ejected, required his commandment to the Jewish people. That's the first covenant of legal relationship. Simply you keep by yourself in the word, so you will blast, otherwise you will be cursed. But here, so you did not care, God's first covenant. That's why God, disregarded, the Jews. So in the Old Testament, they made, some kind of image carved it. But the First John chapter 5, verse 21 said, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Amen. So little children, it's idols not only in actual images, but also in heart. If you love more than God, so you love something more than God, that creature become idol. Romans chapter 7, verse 12, "Therefore the Lord is holy, the commandment holy, and just and good, because the Lord is God's word, the word of God, who is holy, just and good." God is good, God is just, God is holy. Therefore his word also holy, just and good. So the Lord is God's word. That's why. The problem is a human being, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned. We are sinners, and so we are not able to keep, to perform the holy, just, good laws given by God, for short of the glory of God. That's the reason. So that's a fault, in the first commandments. So anyway, so the 1 John chapter 5, 21, little children, keep yourself from idol, but you love creatures more than God, so you will be cursed. Proverbs chapter 14, 34, righteousness is divine righteousness, exalt a nation, a country, United States. If you keep, God's word, the word of God, who is righteous, so the United Nation shall be prospered. But sin is a reproach to any people. But the violation over the word of God, the commandment of God, who is righteous, result in reproach, result in cursed, destroyed, deteriorated. So that means, okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So we are new creation. So we no longer keep the law by ourselves, by our flesh. No. All things have passed away. Behold, look, all things have become new. So Psalm chapter 37, verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord. Delight yourself, be happy yourself also in the Lord. What do you mean in the Lord? So in the Lord, always in the word of the Lord, in God's word. So you enjoy, you be happy in God's word, and God shall give you the desires of your heart. So God will give you desire. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will to do for his good pleasure. So in the New Testament, in new covenant, in the second covenant, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. So no longer you live by yourself, but the Spirit of the Christ give us desire to keep God's word and to work for God's plans. So also, disciple Paul, just said, 3 years after, disciple Paul's conversion, he said, I am not complete. Philippians chapter 2, 3, verse 12 and 13. Not that I have already attained, am already perfected. I am not perfected yet. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, to have something, no. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Ahead meaning in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So basically, disciples, Paul said, I am looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit made me to be being conformed in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ until I meet the Lord Jesus Christ. So in heaven. So that kind of sanctification process explained here. Okay, let's see continually. Here, for this is the covenant that I will make with house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law. This covenant, meaning the second covenant, the new covenant, put my law in their mind, now mind, on write to them on their heart. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So, question to you, what does it mean? Is their mind on their heart? So, not an external stone, but in hearts. So we already saw 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. So we are a new creature. Psalm chapter 7, verse 4, delight yourself both in the Lord, which meaning in my mind, I mean in my heart, So we are enjoying, God's word, kind of thing. So Philadelphia. Philippians chapter 2 verse 12 and 13, so the Holy Spirit give us to will and to do, give us desire to will, to do, to accomplish God's commandments, to be confirmed in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11, none of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. Why? Because this verse 11 indicates at the Millennium Kingdom age. So Millennium Kingdom age is after the end of the Great Tribulation. So the Lord Jesus Christ established Millennium Kingdom on the earth. That time, everyone knows the Lord. So nobody teaches each creature. So that's why this verse 11 talks about Millennium Kingdom ages, creatures. Verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Here, merciful relationship in the new covenant, in the second covenant, based upon faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior. So because of faith in God and consider us as righteous, man, that's called justified Jew. So merciful to their unrighteousness, mercy, which means love to forgive a sin. So forgive a sin, that is mercy. So because of the Lord Jesus Christ with the bloodshed and resurrection, so all our sins were taken away, were eliminated. So to we have to live in the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior. So this is a sanctification process. Also, and their sin and their lawless meaning, violation of law, these I will remember no more, because God forgave them who repent of their sins with their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So advocate, so Jesus Christ also advocate is of Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Not that I have, this is, we already read that, so already attained for disciple in himself, described as imperfect, not perfect yet, but I am looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, the image, until he meets the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. The First John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. If anyone sin, which meaning children of God, right? Children of God sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, in the righteousness. And he himself is a propitiation for our sin. Jesus Christ himself in redemption to pay off our sin. So therefore, the children of God committed sin, so we repent in the name of Jesus Christ our sin. So Jesus already paid it. So your sin was gone. So our sin, and not for ourselves only, but also for the whole world. Because God loved us so much, the world and all people, all the world. That's why God gave his only begotten Son. So before God the Father as a judge, so Jesus Christ advocated. So Satan accuses me, you know, certain day that he commits sin, but Jesus said, you know, so I repented in my name, so I, you know, already paid, you know, with my bloodshed to cleanse away, you know, my sin. So that kind of advocate or attorney. Psalm chapter 32, verses 1 and 2, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity or sin, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. So we innocently repent in our sin, heartily our sin. God, you know, so, you know, forgiving our sin. So that God, you know, does not charge, you know, our sin. You know, because our Lord, the Son of God, was dead with his bloodshed to cleanse away, you know, our sins. So then, here, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. No more, right? Then in the last verse 13, in that he says, God said, a new covenant, or the second covenant, he has made the first obsolete. So obsolete meaning the first, you know, meaningless, ineffective. Now what is it? Becoming obsolete. Here becoming, present, becoming, not obsolete yet, becoming obsolete. And growing old is ready to vanish away, to be terminated. Why, you know, becoming obsolete it here? Not gone yet, 6 years before Titus destroyed the temple of Jerusalem. So still, you know, when this author wrote this book, the priest, you know, made a sacrifice, animal sacrifice in the temple of Jerusalem. But when Titus destroyed the temple of Jerusalem, so the priest, you know, were not able to make animal sacrifices to the Lord. Let's see each question. In verse 7, for if their first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. What are the first covenant and a second? First covenant is Old Testament, Old Covenant, between God and Jews, you know, legal relationship. A second is a new covenant between God and all nations, including Jews, grace relationship. Question 2. In verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. The covenant, this is the covenant, the new covenant, said the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind, write them on their heart. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What does the phrase, write them on their heart, mean? You know, verse 10, that means not, you know, external storm. You know, the Ten Commandments, written by God, you know, given to Moses, you know, not external stone, but in hearts. That meaning in hearts. Well, question 3, in verse 13, in that he said, a new covenant he has made the priest obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete, growing old, is ready to vanish away. So new covenant will be established, is established, but the first or older covenant will be vanished away. You know, actually, you know, 6 years, you know, 6 years later, after the author, you know, wrote this book. So new covenant is effective. You know, older covenant is ineffective, meaningless. When? So 6 years later, when this author, you know, wrote this the book of Hebrews. Okay, thank you. God bless you. Bye.